Welcome to the second hour of Uncommon Awareness. We are going to proceed right away with today's Evolving the Species Roundtable. We're here with Vinnie Eastwood, vinnieeastwood.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide. Our intention was to really talk about the magic, the healing effect of humor. We didn't call it that at the start. It's really kind of become apparent to me throughout the show that what we're doing is we've captured a young man who's basically down in New Zealand, trying to do the best he can to to carry the torch, if you will, of what he perceives as being, he thinks America actually has the best alternative radio. He doesn't know yet. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. That he's probably some of the best alternative radio that America, he supersedes America. And what we're trying to do is hold a conversation, hold a place for humor in our dealings with what's going on in the world. And it's just about that time when I turn it, my producer, my co-host for the program, Dean Lloyd.
Yes, again, thank you, Lorraine. I wanted to ask Vinny first, do you know who George Carlin is, Vinny?
Really well, yeah. I never got to meet him or anything, but yeah.
and almost everybody in our listening audience, I think, knows who this man is. He was, Bob Hope, another comedian, for his particular time in history, he was an icon. George Carlin, when I would hear him, he would say things that made me think, wow, I wanted to say what he just said, because I see where his perspective is and how absolutely ridiculous. He did a great skit on stuff and how, you know, you acquire stuff and you have to buy bigger places to put more stuff and that you don't have room for the stuff that you just bought, you know. And this guy, and he started rolling with all these very common and very real perspectives that were just cracking me up. I loved it. And so, but what is interesting is he would say things that I said, you know, I was about to say that, or I was about to come up with it, or I thought it, but I never brought it into the perspective that he did. There's an art form into that, and an intelligence that sees how you can redirect way of operating from. And in some of the highest arts in martial arts, like in Aikido, it's about redirecting the energy. In other words, if there's negative energy, it takes a very keen practitioner of Aikido, if you want to think of it that way, or someone who can understand how to redirect energy. Once you've got the art form, it becomes part of you and you no longer need Aikido. Or that goes for any other technique, because these techniques are meant to get you to a place of being empowered, so they're no longer worshipped. They never should be worshipped. They're just part of the process of getting to where you need to be. But what I wanted to do is bring in Vinny with his insight on how his role model initially gave you some insight into how things could be done differently. What I wanted to hear from you is how you are different, or how it is that you started to realize, because maybe most of the audience knows who Alex Jones is, but what I'd like to hear from you is what did you start picking out was really valuable at that time, and how did you start to see what was needed in what you were trying to achieve?
Well, more or less, it was kind of like every single day I would listen to the Alex Jones broadcast. I'd see all his documentaries, watched out of his movies and things like that. And what they did primarily is they gave me the second stage of the grieving process, which is anger. Now, people don't realize just how valuable anger is, and sometimes they don't even realize just how damaging it is if you don't get off of that part of the grieving process. Like there's a number of different steps, and after the anger comes depression, right? And this is what happened. I would go from believing in the system 100%, even telling the cops the truth when I'd get busted and things like that. How stupid is that?
Oh, dear. I did too, and I just got a speeding ticket. But go ahead, please.
Yeah, no. Yes, I'm a drug dealer. Yes, I've been selling weed for 8 months. Okay. What? I just told you the truth. You said you'd go easy on it. We're cops. We lie, all right? It's kind of what they do. But, yeah, you go from that kind of I love the government, I love the police, I'm honest to everybody and all of that kind of stuff, and you realize that you're wrong your whole life, right? And that's what you mentioned George Carlin, but I would have mentioned specifically Bill Hicks. He actually was a earlier influence of me, pre-Jones, more or less. Jones helped me to get in touch with my angry side. And as I was watching him and this great talk radio show host, this great documentary filmmaker, and I aspired to be like him, not him, because I'll never be anybody else, I'll only ever be myself, I was also looking at a number of other people, other sources of inspiration. So I looked at Luke Rutkowski, and he was going out and he was ambushing celebrities and politicians and things of their, you know, allegedly quote-unquote important people, and asking them real questions like the media bloody well should. And I thought, wow, that's really brilliant, that's really inspiring. And also at the time, this is when the Love Police were starting to gain notoriety, Charlie Veitch's Love Police in London, where they're doing comedy through megaphones. And so what I started to realize is that in terms of my natural elements of my personality, these characters are something that I started to actually mold myself into, not because I was trying to be something I wasn't, but because these people were helping me to realize in large part who I really was. I realized that I was angry and needed to rant every now and again and host a radio show like Alex does. I also realized that I was really keen on having fun whilst at the same time talking about serious stuff, just like Charlie Veitch would be doing. I really wanted to take the fight into the teeth of the very people who were enslaving us, like Rutkowski does. And at the same time, I wanted to laugh my ass off while doing it and help all the people that are watching me do it laugh their ass off too, like Bill Hicks did for me. So in a way, I've become sort of like a man's world sort of thing, you know, like, oh, it's a man's world. You know, you go out there and you do everything by yourself. You don't need anybody's help. You know, I have the documents. I'm sorry. I promised I would take your calls. You know, that kind of thing. You love it. Absolutely love it. You can't get enough of it. And after a while, after copying these people's styles, that you then start to realize that you've actually got your own style that was sitting in there, kind of like gold just beneath the dirt. And these people will help me to scrape the dirt off of my soul so that I can realize who I truly am. And because of that gift to me, these people don't even know who I am, all right? But because of their, in Bill Hicks' case, posthumous gifts to me, I believe that it incurs a moral obligation upon my entire life so that I can pass on the lessons that they've given me, right? Now, one thing that I'm really, really differing across all of those people is my unfounded ability to just sit there, shut up for up to 3 hours and just listen to these people pour their heart and soul out, right? Nothing makes you crazier than knowing the truth, which sounds crazy, and having people call you crazy and not listen to you. You know, it drives you even more nuts. It's like, I'm trying to explain to you that stuff is nuts. I'm not the nuts one saying it, okay? Why does everybody listen to me? You know,
Vinny, the ability to sit there for 3 hours and listen to anything is your feminine power coming. Dean's going to cringe when I say this. Your feminine's leaking. Your feminine, it's our receptive ability.
Totally, darling. Totally.
Hey, so healthy, so necessary. Ian, help me out here.
Yes. Not the feminine part. I'm just thinking, we're talking showbiz because we're showing our business. And
Vinny was talking anger. Anger is frustration that has been capped. You haven't found a way to express it. It builds up and builds up until when it finally releases, it builds up with all the suppressed energy that you've been holding inside. It leaps out, and we call that anger. That's just built up frustration. The problem is, if you don't know how to resolve these problems, then you feel stuck. Okay, now I've released the tension that's built up. I've exploded, but I'm still in the same place. So the question is, where are we stuck? You know, and we, to quote a simple lyric from Camelot, what else do the simple folk do to help pass the time when they're blue? They sit around and wonder what royal people do. That's what simple folk do. Gee, if I had superpowers because I was an extraterrestrial above mortal people, if I was an incarnated mythological god, if I was a mutant with superpowers, suppose I just happened to be a billionaire, or I had political power, where I was the most attractive person in the world, and I would get everything I wanted here, or I would secure this or the other. We're looking for ways of satisfying ourselves.
Can I make a point?
At the same time, out of fear and the frustration it builds up, we feel curtailed. It builds up a tremendous tension in us. You can explode with anger, which is just a way of releasing the frustration, or you can redirect it into looking at the truth of what you're dealing with and release that tension through laughter. There was a wonderful quote from an old Jefferson Starship lyric where it said, "The tongue of a master, that should be laughter that takes like a guiding wheel for the weak and the sad man." So in terms of listening, yeah, Vinny is listening, but he's also coaxing. He's a good listener because he's coaxing people. He's created an environment for people where they feel free to release. Somebody's interested. Somebody wants them to express. That in itself is an art form.
Well, could I say something?
Leverage that with levity, which allows people to look at all these truths that need to be exposed. But since they don't have solutions, they can at least break the tension that's building up in their minds through the laughter.
Vinny, go ahead.
Well, it goes on to the point that I was making before about how not being listened to when you know a whole bunch of crazy stuff. You know, I mean, sure, it's crazy. It doesn't mean it's any less real, but
not being listened to is what stresses you out.
Okay.
I don't want you to get cut off. When we come back, listeners, we're going to let Vinny share his thoughts on what Anne had to say. Vinny, please go ahead.
Yeah. Anne was talking about how you have to deal with the anger and – what I figured out is, and I actually figured this out in high school, is one of my abilities is actually to feel, like to really feel. I mean, I'm probably a lot more sensitive than most guys. I'm generally pretty perceptive as well. I have an ability to talk to people sometimes and kind of, it's almost like tuning into their frequency. Like I feel what they feel, I hear what they say, and I try to help them, right? I figure that radio is, as a host, in my perspective anyway, and this is how I run my show, is that it's a form of therapy, which means I have to take the responsibilities of being the therapist. Now, therapists, according to a lot of researchers, need to take about 3 to 4 months break per year, because when you're sitting there and it is your job to day after day take on the emotional baggage of all of these people that are coming into your practice with all of their problems, you actually get affected by those problems. If you hear about
empathy, you're empathic, yeah.
Okay, and because I'm empathic, it makes me really, really good at getting people to trust me, because I can I know how it feels to be them to a degree, and in so doing, they trust me much like they trust themselves. I had a in fact, here's a good example of that. We had Matt Bowden, who's a musician called Starboy. And he created artificial party pills, artificial cannabis in New Zealand. He was the very first person in the world to actually create synthetic versions of ecstasy and cannabis to be sold on a legal market, R18 and what have you. So naturally, he was demonized all up the wazoo by the media. They'll like interview him, and the media people will be all done up in their makeup, and they'll put dark lighting on him to make him look like some dark evil drug lord, when the reality is he's just a damaged guy who's had a really tough life and just happens to be a genius with chemical molecules and music. And that's the thing. I understood that within 5 minutes of speaking to him. This guy's a genius. Which means in our society, if you're a genius, two things will happen to you. Either A1, you will be recruited and then corrupted by the system, and they will use your genius for their aims. Or two, you use your genius for your own aims, and the system tries to hurt you, tries to make you stop believing in yourself, tries to shut you down. I am the antithesis of that in terms of a radio show host. So when he came into my home, he said, well, what's the kind of interview we're doing here? You know, like sort of like nervous. And I said to him, imagine for a moment that there's a person who you can spill your guts to, who you can tell all of the pain and hurt in your life that has really, really meant something. And they will not judge you, and they will be sympathetic to you. Okay? That is the interview we're about to do. And he was like, wow. And I heard the responses of people listening to this interview. They're like, wow, I never knew that about it. You know, he told us stories about he went on a plane and one of his friends was taking really hard hallucinogens, and they started freaking out on the plane, trying to flip the doors open and things like this. You know, this is something that a person who's in the media spotlight here in New Zealand would never, ever say anything like this to a mainstream media reporter, because they just use it to demonize him. And what I did is I provided him a safe, happy platform for which we can have a few laughs and enjoy each other's company for a couple of hours. And that was precisely what it did. Because if your job is very serious, if it's about saving humanity, if it's about exposing scumbaggery, or whether you're a victim of scumbaggery itself, I'm here to help in any way that I can. And sometimes all that it really requires is somebody to just listen, so that you get the impression that they actually frickin' care.
What is the personal cost to somebody who chooses to do radio, who chooses to be in the thick of things? And Vinny just shared really the empathy, the empathic nature of his being from the time he was a young child. And we want to pursue that, and I'm going to let Dean pursue that right now.
Thank you, Lorraine. It was a matter of creating safety for people, and I'm relating to what Vinny's saying. He's not always sure how people are going to respond to these interviewing, and when he brings up something that was so very real for it to be expressed. In other words, there was a real necessity to bring out this part of the guest that he had on, and if it wasn't, it wouldn't have carried any real relevancy or purpose. But what is being identified in what Vinny had brought up is that how we are able to manage or deal with what is stressing us out. And it very often is the case where we get sucked in by the types of things that drain us. All right, what are we being drained by? And I want to have Am come in on this, because very much it's easy for us to hear the media where there's everything is about problems. You know, everything is about how it isn't working. Everything is about what to fear, what's the next phase of fear, you know, what's the latest statistic that proves to us that things aren't working, what medical statistic shows us that we're, you know, a screwed up culture. these paradigm shifts that we're talking about require insight into the person who's interviewing has to know that there is a way out of this. And it's not something that's sort of wiggled around and bypassing what's unresolved. We're talking about how to acknowledge someone's experience as having some value and then drawing out what it is that's appropriate in the circumstances that keep us empowered rather than getting sucked in. So what I identified several things there, what his point was, is that uniquely providing people a safe place is something that's not very, very often seen. It's like, okay, get on. It's time to perform. And yeah, well, if you're relaxed and you don't have anything to prove, then there's nothing, there's no need to defend yourself. There's no need, but it becomes so much more fluid and you get to bounce off of each other and start to see where you could take things. And there's an availability there where it's not scripted, you know, it just becomes open. But what you've just said, Vinny, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's given you the opportunity to let go of some of your preconceived notions and how things should look. Am I right?
It's more about open 100% acceptance, or at least feigning 100% acceptance. Like, I never bring somebody on my show to hassle them, to second guess what they're saying or anything like that. I just want to hear what they're saying, and then I'll make my own mind up after the interview, and I hope my my audience views it the same way. Because there have been people on my show, and this is the reason why I'm able to do so many shows, edit them all and put them all up online by myself without a team or any producer or any help, more or less whatsoever, is because I don't research my guests. It is 100% right then, right there. This is the first time I've heard of you. This is the first time I'm speaking to you. Tell me who you are and what it is you do, and I will accept everything you've got to say throughout the entirety of the interview. And it's only in my own time after it, once I've had a bit of time to mull over the things that you've said, whether or not I make up my own mind to believe what you've been saying, take it on board, or to discount it as completely frickin' nuts, like saying that Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, for example.
Got it. That's different. I'll just put it that way. Most of us like to, because as being in the profession of the medical field and the healing arts, we're interested in doing the research so that we can create a foundation and a logical direction. You've taken it from a very free-form, impromptu type of position, which is a lot like a musician, you know, if they are comfortable, or a jazz musician. So maybe we should just start calling you the jazz musician of a talk show.
Well, I am actually a musician, and the thing about my songs is that they all come up off the top of my head. I've got the improvisation skills like nobody's business. You know, it's kind of like it's been bought out of years and years of being a talk radio show host and doing stuff on the spot, that I can now come up with songs and lyrics off the top of my head as well. I mean, if we could play one on the air, like our best song is a new version of the Happy Birthday song, but I'm not sure if we'd be able to play that. But it gives you an idea for how I sing and what I sing about. It has just as much meaning and strength as the things that I do on talk radio. And I think that music is more or less an extension of what we can cognizantly deal with. It's more about feeling than it is about thought for me.
I'm so glad you brought up music. It's one of my favorite topics.
And I'm so glad you brought
up. Am's about to sing to us a lyric right now, aren't you, Am?
Oh, well, I was thinking of a poem, but I could quote a few of my own song lyrics. But, you know, what we've been talking about, releasing tension and, you know, making a safe space, why are we in threatened and in danger to begin with? I kind of call this the whistling kettle syndrome. You put a kettle on the fire and the pressure builds up, it turns into steam, and it starts whistling. And if you take it off the fire, you know, let out some steam, it calms down. But if you don't know how to control the fire and you don't have any place else to put the kettle, you keep going through this repetitively. Yeah. We're talking about releasing frustration. It comes out as anger. We're talking about a safe place. Where is the danger coming from? Well, why don't we feel safe, and why is safe to express ourselves freely? And then I would reiterate that true human security, real human security, comes from understanding how to access and control your mind, not suppress it, not escape it, not avoid it, not deny it. When you can move at will comfortably into your senses, your feelings, your thought processes, to any degree or combination you choose, only for as long as you choose, and when you can stay by choice exquisitely centered in an awareness of the moment without feeling compelled to react on those other levels, you have full access if you want to, then you have control. Then given a chance to play, you're no longer in danger. You're no longer afraid. You'll play for all you're worth. But if not, we wind up in a bartering situation. Okay, I'll open up this much and show you that much and touch you to this degree, but only if you open up that much and touch me in this way and to that degree, which cuts down the spontaneity that's involved in joy. Now, Vinny lends himself beautifully to creating a safe space for people to bring forth parts of their own exceptionality. But the problem is a lot of people are torn by their exceptionality because they've managed to gain insights, techniques that allow them to see past themselves or past the morass they've found themselves indoctrinated into. But they don't know how to get rid of the drag lines of their subconscious, and they feel haunted. Once you touch a more expansive state of being, whether it's dealing with something you've always dealt with, you just have a new variation, or you've opened up to a whole new level of access that's amazing to you, once you've touched it for even a moment, you're haunted by the fact that you now have neurological access, and you'll never be satisfied until what seemed like a new high point becomes integrated as a common part of your psychological vocabulary. You know, there's an old poem by Emily Dickinson I always liked. She went, "Much madness is divinest sense to a discerning eye. Much sense, the starkest madness, 'tis the majority. And this is all prevails, assent, and you are sane. Demure, you're straightaway dangerous and handled with a chain."
Wow. Beautiful. What a segment. I'd like to take a few moments and bring in Lorraine, just because she's been being very in and taking it all in. I'd like to get, if you have, because you can relate to where Vinny's coming from, being as a talk show host, and you do a lot of research, but what he's saying is part of the fun for him is being able to identify people for where they're coming from in an instant. How can you relate to that?
Well, thanks for asking. I was identifying with Vinny because one of the determinations I made in doing Uncommon Awareness was that there was no contention. There was no judgment. There was just simply, and the one thing I do that I think you know very well, Dean, is the guest is a gift. It's an honor. Any human being in my life is an honor, whether I choose to agree with them or not. Maintaining an attitude, like Vinny, I'm a bit empathic. You and I, we've talked. it's hard. There's a lot of pain involved in doing this work. And I don't... Actually, Vinny, you've inspired me to maybe develop a greater sense of humor.
I hear from you, and both of you correct me if I'm wrong, but you're starting to see yourself become more in the moment. As you know, Vinny's got a talent. He's got an ability to see people right away and give
channel.
Them something to work with. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have a lot of places to go. Am and I would like to talk to him more in detail about
in trouble now, Vinny.
Some places and places, but that's okay. That'll come when it may. But what we're finding here is uniquely providing what most people don't know about themselves is that asking for what they need. You can say that to people.
Well, asking for what they
need. $1 million, or I need to win the lottery, or I need to have a better job, or I need, well, fine. But what is it that you're trying to get at? What is it that you're trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And these are the deeper questions that I believe Vinny is trying to ask. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Here we go to break.
Vinny, you're good. Yeah. These guys have been doing this for like a long time with me. They don't hear the music. Thank you for hearing the music. Listeners, we'll be back in just a few moments. We've really had an extraordinary opportunity. We've got a radio show host from New Zealand that is changing the way people think about media. He's on a mission to really replace the disgrace of mainstream media. We're wrapping up, and we didn't get through a lot of what we wanted to talk about today, but I'm going to let Dean take us out. I'm going to thank Vinny before we get towards the end of the show for being with us and thank him for who he is and what he does. Dean, go ahead.
Thank you, Lorraine. It's now obvious for me that what we're talking about is the future media, the future therapy, the future way of resolving problems. How are we doing this in the way that we're doing it? What I wanted to get is Am's perspective on where we're heading and why in the media, and what is the purpose of going in the direction that we are. We've already seen major strides in how, let's just say, where the people have not been aware of how to ask questions of what to do to resolve these problems that have been swept under the rug for so long. It's already leaking. There's no more room. It's already at that critical stage. Tell us where we're headed and where we need to focus on.
Well, we share the airwaves with one another, the internet waves, but basically what we're sharing are the mind waves. What's going on inside of you? Hey, I'll tell you what's going on inside of me if you tell me what's going on inside of you, but how can I be sure you're telling me? We have a hunger to grow. It's a natural part of us. You know, evolving the facilitating of our human potential, unfolding it, you know, going from the seed to the full blossom potential of what we are. And the thing is, the more we do that, the more unique each of us becomes. Nobody else can be you. You have the market cornered on you. The question is, if you're trying to be you, then you're like everybody else that's trying to be like who they think they are. You want to feel comfortable, at ease, and relaxed. But we have personalities. Personalities are the persona. They're the mask that stands up in front of you. You don't know these people. Do you know yourself? And they become a focal point, a distribution center for ideas, for ways of looking at things. If you're touched by something someone says, well, you couldn't recognize it in them unless it was within you. So we're awakening each other. Where we're going to a whole new level of operative consciousness where all these stressors, all these fears and anxieties, guilts and shames, the confusions that have plagued us and hurt our bodies functioning both individually and the body politic is going to be finished. It's going to be understood. The blockages are going to become released, and we're going to start to function the way we've always wanted to, which will in turn open up whole new levels and ranges of motion we've only stutteringly stumbled into and dreamed of so far.
And Vinny, with that, give us your future.
Well, I'll probably be enslaved and exterminated under Agenda 21, to be honest, but the...
Oh, no.
But as I say, just because you're being ruthlessly enslaved and subsequently exterminated by a bunch of ruthless, criminal, psychopathic, demon entity motherfuckers doesn't mean that you can't have a little bit of fun, you know? So in the meantime, I'm just going to basically do what I keep doing, because if you have a look at how a military operation works, there are those who go to the front lines that kill the enemy and defend the innocent and defend the weak. And those who are on the backyards who are cooking the food and healing those soldiers after they come back from the front. I tend to sit with a foot on both fronts, but I'm primarily on the backyards hoping to help those who are currently awake and fighting, keep them alive and keep them awake so that they don't go back to sleep.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the program. It's really been an extraordinary opportunity to hear about, you know, what it's like for one radio host who's having, he's just coming on the scene. He's bursting on the scene with who he is, what he believes, and what he does. And Am and Dean have done a fabulous job of helping us sort out all the things that are involved in really understanding the truth. This is our edition of Evolving the Species, blah, blah, Evolving the Species. We'll see you on Monday morning, same time, same place. Thanks for being with us.